Others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we look at this tonight, immediately your focus goes to an animal. There is a donkey that is used here. There's other passages of scriptures that says that this was a foal, a colt. Basically, it was a young donkey is what this was. I want to take a look at this just for a few moments tonight, because the Bible says here that the Lord hath need of him. And I want to say this, God still has a need for those I'm going to use a key word here tonight of characteristics that we find in this donkey. But I want to say the Lord still has a need for others tonight. It's amazing to think that the God of all creation, the God that spoke everything into existence, has any need, but he himself said, the Lord hath need of him. Can I say this tonight? That God is still looking for some people. God is still looking for a subjects, if you will, that will follow him. He is still in need tonight. And I want to say this, you can be the one to fulfill that need. I want to preach to you, and I hope that it's going to be an encouraging message, but I want to preach to you real quickly tonight on this subject and on this thought of characteristics of those the Lord needs. I entitled this thing tonight, The Lord Needs You. As we look at this tonight, I want to take a look at this donkey just for a few moments, and I want to say first off, the first characteristic of this donkey that I noticed was that he was a doomed subject. He was a doomed subject. If you're writing that down, he was determined unclean. The Bible tells us back in Leviticus chapter number 11 that God declared clean animals and he declared unclean animals. I want you to know tonight that that donkey was on the unclean list, all right? He was unclean, which means that he had to be redeemed by blood. We'll get to that in just a few moments, but I want you to notice the first characteristic of him is he was a doomed subject. He was determined unclean, but he was also determined unworthy. Meaning this, the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 13, and if thou redeem him not, talking about the donkey, it says, then shall thou break his neck. In other words, this donkey, he was a doomed subject until the Savior got a hold of him. I need somebody to help me right here. He was a doomed subject. I want you to know tonight that every single one of us is the same way. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your status is or your position is in life, we are all doomed to hell unless we are redeemed by the blood. And for you to be used of God, all you have to be, you started off as a doomed subject, but you don't have to remain that way. Somebody ought to give God glory, and we ought to give God praise that you and I ain't in hell with a broke neck right now. We didn't deserve to be where we're at. We didn't deserve to be in this church, but we were a doomed subject that God came and redeemed with his precious blood. Tonight, do you realize that you ought to be usable? You should be allowed God to use you because you are a doomed subject that Christ bought back. Boy, I looked at that thing, man, I got excited about that. The fact of the matter is that this donkey, according to Exodus chapter number 34 and verse number 20, it says, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. According to the Bible, he was an unclean animal, and he had to be redeemed. According to the Bible, let me go ahead and read the rest of that verse, because we think we get off on it because we ain't a donkey. And it says, all the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Can I say that God put that right in the verse when he told us that that donkey needed to be redeemed back in Exodus chapter 34? He also said that every son of man has to be redeemed. Redeemed also. Characteristics of those
We notice the first characteristic, he was a doomed subject, but I want you to notice he was a delivered subject. For this donkey to be used that day, that meant that that there was a sacrifice for his life. Because the Bible said, according to the law, that the firstling of every ass had to be redeemed by a lamb, the Bible says. I know y'all dead tonight. I could tell all through the singing that we didn't want to be here. But I do, all right? I was a doomed subject. I was a doomed subject on my way to hell. And God showed up in my life September 28, 1997. And he saved me. He delivered me. This donkey was a delivered subject. He was a doomed subject, but I want you to know tonight, he was a delivered subject. The fact that he was still alive, the fact that he was tied up, the fact that he was somewhere to be used, showed that he had been redeemed. He wasn't redeemed by just anything. The Bible said he had to be redeemed by a lamb. You know why he had to be redeemed by a lamb? Because he was unclean. And he had to be redeemed by a clean animal. Oh, y'all, come on. He had to be redeemed by a clean sacrifice. He was unclean, and therefore he couldn't be redeemed by someone that was like him. He could not be redeemed. He could not be bought back. He could not be purchased by the death of someone like him. He had to be redeemed by someone that was clean. He had to be redeemed by something that was determined and declared clean by God. And that was, according to the Bible, a lamb. Can I say this? John identified him in John chapter number 1. And in verse 29, when he looked upon Jesus, he said, "The lamb, behold, the lamb that cometh to take away the sins of the world." That lamb was without spot. That lamb was without blemish. That lamb lived a perfect life. Life for you and I to redeem us by his blood. I'm thankful the verse says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He had to be redeemed. It took a sacrifice. And can I say tonight, you may sit in here tonight and you may be a doomed subject still, but you don't have to leave out of here a doomed subject. You may say, "Preacher, I'm still living in sin." You don't have to leave out of here like that. You may say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." You don't have to walk out of here like that. There was a lamb that died for you. There was a lamb that shed his blood for you. And you too can be delivered tonight. Say, "I don't even know what all that means." I'm going to tell you something. You know as well as I do when you wake up every morning whether or not you're a sinner. You know whether or not you are a condemned person. The Bible says, listen to this. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 18, we like to put ourselves into this God loves everybody deal. But I want to show you something right here. God does love everybody, but I want to show you something. The Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Talking about Christ. But it says this, "But he that believeth not is condemned already." That means you sit in here tonight and you have already punched your reservation for hell, whether you want to or not. If you have not believed on Christ, if you have not received him as your Savior, you have a reservation waiting for you in hell. But I thank the Lord. You go a couple of verses up from that and it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I'm thankful for a lamb. Listen here, I can be used by God. Even though I was a doomed subject, I'm thankful I was a delivered subject. And I want to say this, you and I ought to be, we ought to want to be used by God. For the fact that we ain't broke back, broke neck in hell, burning throughout eternity, Christ saved us, took a sacrifice. He was a doomed subject. Number two, he was a delivered subject. Number three, he was a deliberate subject. He was a deliberate subject. What I mean by this was he was chosen. Now, redemption had already taken place, so don't start taking my theology and trying to twist it all around to some kind of Calvinism. He was already redeemed. That's why he was usable. Everybody all right? But he was chosen. I want you to look at this. The Bible says he was chosen, first off, to accommodate the law. according to Deuteronomy chapter number 17 and in verse number 16, that no king was to take unto himself many horses. So instead of the king, this is called the triumphal entry. This, is everybody all right? Y'all quiet on me right here. Let me do some teaching if I can. This right here was prophesied by Zechariah in chapter number 9 of Zechariah. It said that your king would come in riding on a colt. When he entered in this chapter, Mark chapter number 11 here, as he entered into Jerusalem riding this colt, he was presenting himself as king. Is everybody with me now? But I want to say this right here. According to Deuteronomy, a king was not to take upon him many horses. I like this. Christ came not riding a horse. Riding a horse means he that is a symbol of war. When a king ride, I need somebody to help me tonight. When a king comes riding in with a horse, it was a symbol of war. But he come riding in on a donkey. Lowly. A symbol of peace, an offering, if you will. He come in. I want you to notice he was a deliberate subject. He was chosen to accommodate the law, but he was chosen to confound the wise. I like this. Hey, everybody, they didn't understand. They thought that Christ was supposed to come and he was supposed to rule. He was supposed to sit on the throne of David. He was supposed to put the Roman Empire under subject to his rule. But that is not why he came the first time. He came the first time as the Messiah. He came the first time as the Anointed One. He came the first time as a sacrifice. He'll come back as king on a horse. Y'all better help me right here. He'll come back. The next time he comes back, the next triumphal entry he makes into this world, and when he sets his feet on this ground, he'll be coming with a horse, and he won't be coming to be no sacrifice. Hey. He was chosen to accommodate the law, but he was chosen to confuse the wise or confound the wise. I like this. Hey, you got Miss Carrie, can you get 1 Corinthians up for me? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I want you to go to verse number 26 rather, and I'm going to read through several verses. I didn't put it on my iPad because I can't see real good when I put it on my iPad. But anyhow, I took some verses here I want you to see. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse number 27, we're going to go all the way to the end of the chapter. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Verse number 28, "And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." He came them first time riding on a donkey, and they could not understand it. He was supposed to be on a horse. He was supposed to be ruled. He was supposed to rule, and yet he comes on this donkey. He comes on this little base thing. He comes on this unclean animal. He comes in a time, he comes into a place where they thought he should have been doing something else. He just messed them all up. Can I say that when Christ saved me, he took somebody that was a sinner. He took somebody that wasn't worth nothing for anybody else. He took somebody that everybody said he wouldn't amount to anything, and he started using me. He started doing things with me. He started confounding the wise. Somebody help me right here. I like that verse. I believe that verse is talking about me. He chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And I say this morning or tonight, God ain't looking for you in all your wisdom. God ain't looking for you in all your knowledge. God ain't looking for you in all your perfection. God ain't looking for you in all of your worthiness. What God is looking for is somebody that's foolish enough to just give him the glory, not seek it for themselves, not have to have somebody pat them on the back, but have somebody, he just needs somebody that carry him tonight.
He was a deliberate subject. He was chosen to accommodate the law. He was chosen to confound the wise. But I want you to notice this about that deliberate subject too. He was known. Christian, we're going to turn the tables a little bit right here, and I want you to know this. He was known. Christ knew his position. Christ told them two disciples, he said, I want you to go over into the village. And he said, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. He knew exactly where he was at. Come on, help me, y'all, tonight. Somebody wake up. He knew exactly where that colt was at. Can I say tonight, I don't know what you're going through, and you may be just like Brother Scott said. You may not have heard from God in a while, but let me assure you, he knows exactly where you are tonight. He knows right where you are. I need somebody to help me. And he knows what you're tied to, too. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to know, he was known. Christ knew his position. I like this. Christ knew his potential. See, this, the Bible says about this colt that he was young and he had never, the Bible said, never a man had rode him. They didn't know. Oh, I need somebody. That means he was unbroken. That means nobody had ever been on his back. They wouldn't even know how he was going to react. If he acted like a donkey, somebody help me right here. It was going to be an ugly time. I say this. There's a lot. Well, I can't say it right now. I'll say it in a minute. I'll work up my confidence and I'll say it. Somebody was talking to me the other day and they said, I some of the things you say from the pulpit, I can't believe you get away with. I said, the people feel sorry for me because they just know who I am. Christ knew his position, but Christ knew his potential. Nobody else seen that donkey's potential. Nobody else seen his potential while he was tied over there. Never been used. Never had anything put on him. I need somebody to help me right here. Never had anything put on him. He was sitting over there. Never been proven. I'm going to say that again. He had never been proven. He never been proven. Meaning that he had never done something where everybody could look at it and say, oh yeah, that's a good one. But Christ knew his potential. You sit in here tonight and you say, preacher, I want to do something for the Lord, but I can't. Listen here. God's in the business of using things that ain't never been used before. God's in the business of using things. I need somebody to help me. God's in the business of using things that have never been used before. Never man climbed up on the back of that donkey, but God knew his potential. He knew right where he was. He knew right where he was sitting tonight. He knows right where you're sitting tonight. And he knows your potential. He knows exactly what you're capable of. He knows exactly what you can do if you're obedient to him. He knows your potential. And he knows your passion. He knew his position. He knew his potential. But he knew his passion. You know what a donkey wants? To be used. You know what a donkey wants? To be set free. Y'all better help me tonight. He knows your passion. He knows you sitting there, and he knows you want to be used. He knows that you want to do something. You don't know what. You may not have a clue what God wants to do with your life. But he knows your potential, and he knows your passion, and he knows you want to be used. There's somebody sitting in here, and you want nothing more in the world than to serve the God that delivered you. You want nothing more in this world than to serve the God that set you free, that paid the price for you, that purchased you with his blood. And you sit there tonight, and you're saying, God, how can you use me? God, will you use me? He knows your passion tonight. He knows your position tonight. He knows right where you are. And can I say tonight, he knows your potential. He was a deliberate subject. Not only was he a doomed subject, not only was he a delivered subject, He was a deliberate subject. I still got 2 points. Everybody good? He was a detached subject. The Bible says that Jesus told them, whereon never a man set, loose him and bring him. The Bible says in verse number 4 at the end of it, and they loose him. He was a detached subject. I don't care who you are in here, and I don't care what your passion is and how much you want to be used by God. You cannot be used by God if you're tied up to everything that isn't God. As long as you are tied up to everything that isn't God, you'll never be used of God. For that donkey to be used, he had to be untied. For that donkey to be used, he had to be loosed. He had to be loosed of some things in his life that was holding him back. I need somebody to help me tonight. Some of you has done got a rein attached to something. And you want to be used by God, but it's holding you back. I don't know what it is. Only you can figure that out. I can go through a list of things and it ain't going to make no difference. You've got to determine what it is. I can call them out, and if you're enjoying it, you ain't going to bother it anyhow. But I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work right here, and I'm going to say that you know exactly what you're tied up to. You know exactly what you are tied to that is keeping you from being used by God to your full potential. And tonight, child of God, you can walk out of here loosed, or you can leave out of here and still be tied up. It's your choice. But don't tell me you want to be used if you're unwilling to be untied. Amen. I found that a lot of people that are tied up, they're unwilling to be loosed. Because you can be. But we choose to stay tied up because we like it. It's a comfortable place. When you're tied up, you don't have to worry about anything. Come on now. It gets real comfortable. You ain't got to worry about all that other stuff. And some of us are tied up because it's comfortable. Or some of us is tied up because we don't realize that we could be loose. Some of us are tied up because we don't realize that we could be loose. You know, they say that them big old elephants in the circus, they'll tie them up to a stake when they're a baby. They'll tie them to a stake when they're a baby, and that little elephant, I say little, he's 250-something pounds or bigger, he pull all he wants to against that stake, and he can't get loose. He doesn't have the strength to pull that stake out of the ground. And so as a young baby, they tie him to that stake and he pulls and he'll, until he finally comes to a place in his life where he stops fighting what he's tied up to. And when he's big and magnificent and everybody's wanting to see this big old elephant, they say you can tie that elephant to a chair. And he won't pull against it because he's been trained that when that rope's on him, he can't do anything. That big old powerful elephant, if he wanted to, he could tear that whole tent down. And there are times that they have gotten loose and tore up a whole city. But in their mind, they're trained that they can't get loose. And so as they mature, they accept that they're tied up. And they accept that they can't go any further. There's a lot of Christians who early in your life, spiritual life, when you got saved, You were tied to something. And you matured, but you're still thinking that. I know it. You're still thinking that you're tied down when God said, I've given you the power. I've given you the strength to break loose. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. What are you attached to tonight? What are you tied to tonight? What is it in your life that's holding you back from being used by God? Lastly, he was a dutiful subject. Started to use docile, it means tame, but dutiful actually means submissive, and it means humble. I like this because he was usable. The Bible says this about him. It says in verse number seven, and they brought the colt to Jesus. Can I say something about a donkey and his nature? They don't like, come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. They don't like to be told what to do. Hey, I need somebody to help me because you're a donkey. See, you never in your life thought that you related to a donkey and the preacher just messing you up tonight. They're stubborn. Come on. Stop acting like you ain't. Everybody looking around. I ain't raising my hand. Raise your hand. You're stubborn. Come on, hold it up. You are stubborn. You want to do it your way. And if it ain't done your way, you are going to moan and groan about it. Don't even play with me. Ain't done your way. You're going to cry about it. You're going to whine about it. And many times we ain't being used by God because we want to do it our way. And the Bible says his ways are not our ways. Well, God, I'm going to serve you. I'll serve you, but. God, I'll serve you if. God, I'll serve you when. Is everybody all right? Don't get quiet on me. You know as well as I do. We stubborn. We don't like to be led. But as I looked at this subject, the Bible says he was brought to Jesus, which means that he submitted to those that Jesus sent to get him. Oh, help me! I need somebody to help me. It didn't say that he submitted to Jesus. He submitted to those that Jesus sent after him. That takes on a new level. Is everybody all right? Oh, I need somebody to help me. The donkey did not submit to Jesus at the beginning of that. He submitted to those that. Is everybody all right? Do I need to explain that? No, it's good. Is there anybody having a problem with that? Raise your hand up. Anybody got a problem with that? Don't act like you ain't got a problem with that. Does anybody not understand it? Let me say it that way. Because I know you all got a problem with it because I can tell by the way you're looking at me right now. I knew he'd get into that junk. He wanted me to just do whatever he tells me to do. It ain't like I told any of y'all to go fix me a sandwich. I need somebody to help me. It ain't like I told y'all to go clean the toilet. It ain't like I'm abusing my power. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're usable by God. God sent me to get a hold of you and bring you to the one that has need of you. And you can fight it like the donkey he is. Or You can be usable. Like that donkey in that story. Don't get mad at the preacher. I know what I'm talking about. All I want to do is get you to him. All I want to do is get you to him. And I know that you're going to fall. But I'm going to get you and I'm going to do my best to keep you going in the right direction. You may stumble again, but I'm going to do my best to get you to where you're usable, to get you to him where God can use you. You can kick and scream all you want to on that front row, second row, third row, all them rows. Or you can allow those that God sent you to lead you to where you can be used of him. He was usable. He was under control. The Bible says, whereon never man sat. And yet Jesus got on him. I want you to know something. I need somebody to help me. Not only was that against his nature. Now, he was a load bearer, and that's what he was supposed to do, but never a man had been on him, so he wasn't broken. And here he is in the midst of a crowd, a bunch of screaming people, a bunch of happy people, a big crowd. At this time, the Passover was near. Many were there. And Jesus got on this donkey's back, and he carried him in. He was under his control. He was usable. He allowed him to lead him, but he was under his control. Is everybody ready? See, when you got saved, how many of you prayed this prayer? You say, Lord, save me. I want you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Come on, tell the truth. Raise your hand. Why y'all so messed up about raising your hand tonight? I'm helping y'all, right? Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. How many of y'all said that to God? Come on, raise your hand up. Keep it up. How many of you said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life? And yet you won't even carry him. Got him. Won't even carry him. And if you do carry him, you buck and fight. If he does tell you to go this way, you say, why can't we go that way? It's shorter this way. Why we have to go that way? It takes longer. He was under his control. The one that spoke everything into existence said, I want you to carry me. And the one that he created said, it's a fair deal to me. Go back and say that again. The one that created everything said to that which he created, I want you to carry me. And the donkey said, that's a pretty good deal to me. Now, that ain't written in Scripture, but I can prove to you that donkey spoke. In Numbers chapter number 22, I can prove to you that donkey spoke. So it ain't so far-fetched to believe that donkey said, yes, sir. Is everybody all right? If nothing else, because you created me. But if I have to go beyond that, because you redeemed me. If nothing else, because you created me. But if I have to go beyond that, because you redeemed me. Amen. Lastly, I'm done. He was a dutiful subject. He was usable. He was under control. But he was unnamed. He was unnamed. This donkey did not have a name. He did not have one thing that was strapped to him that said, I'm the donkey of the Lord. He didn't have one thing that was strapped to him that said, Pastor Donkey. He didn't have one thing strapped to him that said, evangelist donkey. He didn't have nothing that said, missionary donkey. He didn't have nothing that said, pianist donkey. He didn't have nothing that said, musician donkey. I need somebody to help me. He didn't have nothing that said, choir donkey. He didn't have nothing that said, Sunday school teaching donkey. He didn't have nothing that said, children's church teaching donkey. Is everybody all right? He didn't have no name. We don't know nothing about him other than the fact Jesus said, I had a need of him, so he sent somebody after him. And he remained that way. His job wasn't to go out and promote himself. His job wasn't to go out and make a name for himself. His job was simply to carry that which had created him. His job was to carry that which had redeemed him. His job was to carry that which had loosed him. His job was nothing more than to carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No glory for himself. All the glory to God. He was unnamed. He was unnamed. He was unpaid. I need somebody to help me. He was unpaid. That means he didn't have to get paid to do his ministry. What he was carrying was enough. The fact that he was chosen to carry him was enough. Amen. Lord, help. I'm not going anywhere. We got started early. It's still early. I can go on this point for 15 more minutes. Is everybody all right? It wasn't for his glory. It was enough that he was carrying the King. He didn't have to be paid like one. It was enough that he was carrying. We don't know nothing that happened after this donkey did his job. There wasn't newspaper articles out in Jerusalem that said, hey, take a look at the donkey. All them people on the streets wasn't crying out, Hosanna to the donkey! Hosanna means praise now. They wasn't shouting out praise now to the donkey. They were shouting over what was on his back. Wasn't about the donkey. Oh, I need somebody to help me. There was bigger donkeys out there. There were stronger donkeys out there. There was better donkeys. Oh, y'all better help me. I know what I'm preaching is right. There were stronger donkeys out there. This was a young one. There was bigger donkeys out there. This was a young one. There were smarter donkeys out there. There was better trained donkeys out there. He could have had his choice of any of them. But the fact that he chose this donkey was enough. The fact that he chose you, they smarter people out there than you. I need somebody to say amen. Hey, there's prettier donkeys out there than you. I don't know why I'm drawn to this area. I love Justin. There's stronger Christians out there than you. I smarter Christians out there than you. More mature Christians out there than you. But the Lord has need of you. He wants to use you. And I believe that's enough payment. I believe that ought to be enough payment. Now, if the Lord blesses you with a ministry where you get paid, then praise the Lord. But it ain't about payment here. He was unnamed. The last thing the Lord needs is a donkey running around, opening his mouth, trying to get glory for himself. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That donkey was doomed. Praise God, he was delivered. I need somebody hear me tonight. He was doomed, but praise God, he was delivered. Tonight, according to that Bible, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're already condemned. According to John chapter number 3, verse number 18, you are condemned already if you do not believe. So I come to you, one donkey to another, and ask you this question. Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you was to die? You say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to do me a favor and look right up at me. Hey, I want you to be used by God as much as you want to be used by God, but you got to be redeemed. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died tonight, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. If that's you, I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is that you tonight? Is there anybody like that in the building? Before I move any further, we want to make sure. Tonight, according to us all, we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. That price being the precious blood of our Creator. So tonight I ask you, will you let God use you? How many of you join me around the altar? There's already some that's come. How many of you join me around the altar tonight and get loose from some things? Let God untie you from some things. Let God take some things out of your life that's holding you back. He wants to use you. Maybe tonight it's your stubbornness that you're tied to. God wants to use you, but you're demanding that He does it your way and how you want Him to use you. And you say, I don't want to be no donkey. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. What if God, that's what your purpose is. He was dutiful. He did what he was told. He followed who he was told to follow. He carried whom he was told to carry. And he did so without bringing any glory to himself. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, for tonight's service, Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, for the singing, the choir, the musicians, those that are working with our young people. God, we want to thank you for all the people that, Lord, you use at Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to use us. Lord, I pray tonight we realize that, God, you have a need for us. Lord, may we carry what we've been called to carry. May we do so without a fight, but God, submissive to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Jesse.